The night may be long and the dark may be deep, but the answers are there to be found. Whether it's the normal, the abnormal, or the paranormal, you're in the right place. Let's go beyond reality.
Welcome to the show. We are excited to get going tonight. We've had a great week of shows so far, a couple days in. We're in hump day now. It's Wednesday. And we've got another terrific topic. We're going to be talking about the New World Order. Now, this is more than just a, that's an interesting discussion type of topic. This particular discussion is crucial. Because if anybody's paying attention to what's happening, not just in our country, but in the world around us, there are major, major changes going on, underway. Changes that are not going to play in the favor of freedom, in the favor of America, democracy. They are not going to play in the favor of our way of life. And we need to know what to be looking for. And we also need to understand that we have parts of our government are complicit in this, maybe even encouraging it. So Dina Ray is going to be our guest tonight, and she's going to talk about all of this. And as you look outside and you're told that you can't go outside or you can't do this or you can't post this on Facebook because they disagree with you, start thinking about what's going on here. This is not something that that we can make a mistake on, because if we make that mistake, we'll never get these freedoms back. So this is what we're going to be talking about tonight, including how that morphs into the New World Order. It's all part of the same thing. It's all really the same discussion. And Dina Ray has written about it, has blogged about it, and I'm excited to talk to her tonight about this topic. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Our YouTube community is the hub of our online community. So go to YouTube, search for JV Johnson. You'll find it rather easily, and I encourage you to subscribe. There's no fee or obligation or any of that stuff. But you do get, you do have access to something in the neighborhood of 500 back episodes of the show. So, do that. Go to YouTube, subscribe. Also, if you get a chance, find the podcast version of the show, because the podcast version of the show is a very easy way to keep up on the program. Sorry, I'm just reading something coming up here in our Twitch chat. I'm just trying to figure out what it means. Somebody redeemed a shout out. I'm not exactly sure. It says Shelly wants to say, "Hey, hi, love." So there you go. Shelly said it herself in the chat itself. Anyway, so sorry to be distracted there. But the podcast version gives you an opportunity to subscribe and have the show downloaded to your smartphone or your smart device automatically. It's always there. And if you miss a show, you can go back and catch up that way. It's very convenient, very easy. So the YouTube channel is as well. So a lot of great stuff that you should be doing as you remain part of our community here, whether it's digitally, well, it's pretty much entirely digitally, but whether it's audio or video or whatever it happens to be, we welcome you. So great show on tap for tonight. As I said, we'll be talking with Dina Ray, and we'll be talking about the New World Order, plus some things that we need to be watching out for. We don't want to give away our freedoms, regardless of what the explanation or the justification is, because once we lose them, well, we'll never get them back. We'll go to break. When we come back, we will bring in Dina Ray and we'll start this discussion. It's Beyond Reality. We'll be right back. Please support the program. Go to patreon.com/Johaw. That's J-O-H-A-W. There's a lot going on in this world that we have never seen before. Wars are terrible, don't get me wrong. But this is a unique situation that we're watching unfold around us every single day. And it gets worse every single day. And I'm not talking just about this virus. I'm talking about what will be the aftermath of this virus. Nobody knows how we're going to get out of this situation that we've been put into by not just the virus itself, but also by the reaction of the U.S. government and world governments. And it's that reaction that's going to end up causing a hangover that'll probably be far more devastating in many, many ways than the actual illness was. We're going to be talking about that and more. Of course, a New World Order is all part of this. Dina Ray is our guest. Dina, welcome to Beyond Reality. It's great to have you here tonight.
Thanks, JV, for having me back. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. How long has it been? It's been a while, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you back here. We are living in some very, very interesting times. I had my first boss out of college used to say all the time, may we live in interesting times. And I don't think they can be more interesting than they are. But they also can't be more consequential than what we're seeing right now. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
I mean, we're seeing things happen around us, and we're seeing reactions to those things that if we don't navigate these rough waters carefully, we'll never see our way of life come back.
And maybe that's the point. I couldn't agree with you more.
Let's talk about this a little bit before we get into the New World Order. And I know this is part of it as well, but I want to talk specifically about some of the day-to-day things we're all seeing right now. And I'm going to give you an example. We stream the show live on YouTube, and when I posted this video to go live tonight, in the title, I put Post-Coronavirus New World Order, and then I put your name as our guest, right? So it goes up, and then immediately below it, YouTube puts a link on it that says, get the latest information from the CDC about COVID-19, as though they want to make sure that whatever I'm about to say isn't... it is overshadowed, in fact, by what the CD has to say and the position that YouTube agrees with. This is not free speech. This is really concerning.
Oh, yeah. And Twitter just adopted that philosophy, and Facebook has had it since the beginning. So we're dealing with, we've been dealing with censorship little by little before coronavirus. If you recall, Alex Jones was banned from Twitter, 6 months ago,
That's
8
right.
months ago? A couple other radio programs were banned from Twitter because they didn't, go with the mainstream media on a lot of different points. And now we've got coronavirus, and if you say one thing that does not jive with the CDC, you're gone.
Or even more concerning is if it doesn't jive with the World Health Organization. I can't remember if it's YouTube or if it's Facebook. One of those two is taking down anything that does not agree with World Health Organization recommendations or positions.
Right. And, just to, make it a little bit more clear for your listeners, the World Health Organization, the leader of the World Health Organization, was handpicked by China and Bill Gates. Now, we pay, when I say we, I mean the United States of America, is the single biggest contributor for the World Health Organization. So why aren't we picking the leader of the World Health Organization? We pay the most, right? So Trump, whether you like Trump or not, you don't like Trump. He said enough is enough. We're not funding you anymore. And who's the second biggest contributor to the World Health Organization? Now, this is a UN, this is an organization that is from the UN, Bill Gates. Now, why does a private citizen fund a huge organization within the United Nations? How can that even be allowed? I talk about conflict of interest.
Yeah, that's very unusual and difficult to understand without a question. That is really bizarre.
He doesn't even try to cover it up with shell corporations and phony foundations, nothing. It's just him.
Wow.
And he gets to pick the leader, evidently.
Well, it's one thing to maybe not have, and I don't know how these things work, honestly. I don't know what the process is for picking any of these leaders, whether it's the World Health Organization or other parts of the UN. But here's the bottom line. Who's in there isn't as important as what they're doing. And what they did with this coronavirus is nearly criminal. And I don't know if they blatantly lied or if they just accepted China's rationalizations and just repeated them. But whatever they did, they completely disregarded their responsibility to the rest of the world in favor of propaganda.
Oh, absolutely. And as we're you know, we're digging into it more and more, we're finding out that, you know, first China supposedly didn't know about it till January, and then it was December, and now we're finding out through satellites that they had streets and buildings closed in October. Now, why were they closing down streets? Why were they closing down buildings and institutions? Again, we don't know that yet, but you can see where this is going. And how many months did China know about this? Because it certainly wasn't in December. I think we can all agree on that. And why was the World Health Organization covering for them?
Yeah.
We got a lot of questions with China. And why were they trying to set up these exotic meat markets as the cause of all this? We got a lot of questions with China. And, you know, some people say that this virus is a practice for the real bio weapon.
Yeah, dry run. Yeah. I've heard the dry run discussion a lot. Absolutely.
We, of course... I mean, I don't want to make light of coronavirus. I know we've had a lot of people who died from it. I know that they're saying on the news that there's some children who are dying from it. So I certainly don't want to make light of it by any stretch of the imagination. But like you mentioned earlier, what is the aftermath of this going to be? They're just pumping out money. Just to give you an example about all the money that they're pumping out, my mom is in her 70s and she's on Social Security. Well, she didn't get laid off from any job.
Right.
Her pay was never interrupted. She gets her Social Security, and she once upon a time worked when she was younger, and she gets a pension. Her income has never been interrupted. So what does she do? She gets a check for $1,200
mm-hmm.
in the mail.
Yeah.
And God bless, it's my mother. I of course want her to have whatever they send her. But why are people who have not suffered a penny from this getting government checks? It's almost like we're trying to bankrupt ourselves.
Yeah, and we're well on that path. I want to go back to something else, because we mentioned YouTube doing some censorship, and we mentioned Facebook. And one of the things that is even more egregious than any of this is the fact that particularly Facebook is in the business of actively censoring what it feels is appropriate or inappropriate information, not necessarily misinformation. And I'm talking about things like these groups that wanted to protest some of what would be considered draconian measures to shut down communities. People have a right to protest our government. That is a fundamental right in this country. And it doesn't say except in the event of a virus. It doesn't say except in the event of war. We would have had the Vietnam protests. It doesn't say except in the event of a governor not thinking it's a good idea. No, it doesn't say that at all. That right is guaranteed, and it is pure. And now we can't even post something on Facebook that says, hey, we want to gather in front of City Hall, and we'll do it with 6-foot distancing between us. We can't post that because they will take it down because they don't think it's appropriate. This is scary stuff.
Well, I'm originally from Chicago area, so... the governor of Illinois, and then, of course, the neighboring governor of Michigan. Oh, my gosh. What the kind of crap that them two are pulling, it goes beyond overreach. It just, like in Illinois, for example, you can go on your boat. You and one other person can go on your boat, but that's it. No more than two. So a family of four that's quarantined together can't.
I know, it's just it's so arbitrary, and I don't even see what the end game is here. I don't get it. I don't get it. But what I do know is that if they can start taking away these freedoms today because of a health scare, why can't they start taking them away because what they consider to be a climate change scare? Or they can take them away because of a quote-unquote domestic terrorism scare, which they label everybody that doesn't agree with them as a domestic terrorist. I mean, this is a very, very slippery slope that we've started sliding down.
Oh gosh, you got that right. Amen. And I do not own a gun as of right now. But in response to this whole entire thing, I went to a shooting range. I signed up for a gun class, and I am going to purchase my first gun, hopefully, this June, because I'm scared. When the dust settles on this whole coronavirus thing and everybody's sick of quarantining and they lost their jobs, they lost their house, they lost who knows what else, and you got droves of homeless people, desperate people, walking around the neighborhoods, what are we going to do?
That's
the
right.
Government's not going to come to our rescue.
Right.
I mean, I'm serious. I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm very scared right now. This is just not normal. And by so many, everything about it is not normal. And there's so many fishy side stories to the whole entire thing. You're wondering what am I getting set up for?
Not to mention the fact that many states and localities are releasing prisoners, some of them violent criminals, back into society because of this coronavirus. Do you think that this was some kind of coordinated plan, or do you think that all these people just recognize, wow, hey, this thing is giving us the cover we need to make all of these dramatic changes to American way of life?
Well, I'm thinking it's a combination of both, quite honestly. Some people are like, oh, well, coronavirus, I think I'm going to slide this in and slide that in and slide that in. I hate to keep using, I'm in Texas, by the way, but I used to live in Illinois. A lot of people have always had axe to grind about religion because religious organizations don't have to pay taxes. And then people who donate to religious organizations get to write off their donations. So the government doesn't get a lot of money off of religion. In fact, they lose money. So it's religions have always been a craw with them. And they also give people ideas. So one of the things in Illinois that they just announced was that religious services are banned until there is a vaccine.
Oh my.
Banned.
Where was this?
Illinois.
See, this is another constitutionally guaranteed right.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot do that. I don't care what the reasoning is. You cannot, as a government, interfere with people's right to practice their religion. It is expressly prohibited by the Constitution, yet they just do it. I think they all think anything goes at this point. Anything we want to do goes. This is crazy stuff.
It's terrifying. And I know you're out east, and I know New Jersey, you could buy alcohol, you could buy weed, but you couldn't buy a gun. Now, what the heck is that?
I know. Alcohol stores are considered, or alcohol shops are considered essential, but church isn't. And listen, I'm glad the alcohol shops are open because, you know, I've needed to stop a couple times myself. However, you know, picking these winners and losers, and I'll say one more thing about the economic ramifications of all this. I live in a tourist town that survives because of 3 months every year. June, July, and August is the only reason Cooperstown, New York thrives. And this year, because of the coronavirus, the main draw for Cooperstown tourism shut down. They're not opening at all this year. So these businesses that rely on those 3 months, they had to go from September through of 2019. Now they'll have to go all through 2020 and then through January, February, March, April, May of 2021 before they start to see business again. How many of those businesses will be able to survive that? A. B. Yeah, the government has helped out a little bit here during these few months, but they're not going to help out for 18 months. They're not going to help out for the 21 months that these businesses are going to need help for. So Cooperstown is going to suffer permanently because of this.
This is terrifying. So there goes Cooperstown.
Yep.
How many other towns are going to
be
shanty towns like your town is headed?
That's
look at look at Hawaii. I mean, they have hardly any cases, hardly anything. And their tourism, that's their whole, the name of their whole entire business is tourism.
Right. That's right.
Nobody's going there.
That's right. Let's talk a little bit about what some of these other things we need to be careful about. I've heard a lot about contact tracers. What are contact tracers and why should we be concerned?
Well, that is a new job that anybody can get if they get hired, of course, and do a 5-hour online course at Johns Hopkins University. So some states require some knowledge in the healthcare industry, and some don't. But everybody is requiring this 5-hour online class. I think they make around $15 to $20. And what they're responsible for is contacting people that COVID-19 carriers or people who have just been diagnosed with COVID-19 have been in contact with. So let's say you have COVID-19. You just went to the doctor. He says, "I hate to give you the bad news, but you've got COVID." Well, theoretically, his next question might be, who have you been in contact with? Now, you're a nice guy, above board, all that. Oh, geez, I went to Walgreens. I went to Walmart. I saw my sister. You know, you might list who you've seen over the week, but a lot of people aren't going to do that.
Right.
So how the heck do these contact tracers know who to warn? That brings me to my next point, the phones. Google and Facebook and are openly admitting that they're using location data to figure that out. So what I'm wondering is, we've got the contact tracers, and that sounds like an up-and-up thing if you're dealing with honest people who have, you know, contracted the disease. But how many people are not going to admit, I was at my girlfriend's house and I'm married, you know, or I was at, you know, robbing a grocery store. Or, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't going to admit where they were for obvious reasons. Some people just don't think it's anybody's business. Who would the contract tracer, how would they know who to contact? And again, we've got the whole phone thing, which has been going on all over the world, but Americans, of course, are screaming, you've got no right to do that. So we've been very quiet about it. However, California is using location data. New Mexico is using location data. Colorado is using location data. Other states are getting together to use this location data. Facebook and this other company, Waze, got together and they figured out a way to use GPS coordinates and different Wi-Fi signals and have figured out where you have been the last 2 weeks since you've been diagnosed. And then they give the contact tracer phone numbers to call. So, you know, part of me is like, maybe that could be save somebody's life. But a bigger part of me thinks, well, how do they have that kind of power where they could just figure out where you've been over the last 2 weeks? I'm to the point where when I leave the house, I don't even want to take my cell phone with me.
And the answer to your question is they don't have that power. They're just taking it. And that's what's the scariest part of all of this is. Tell me how Bill Gates became an expert in the transmission of viral diseases and world health. How did this happen?
Again, Bill Gates, the second biggest provider to the World Health Organization, has been into this whole medical thing for some time now. He's another one of his pet projects is Planned Parenthood, not just for our country, but for around the world. He's really into abortions because he thinks we need to depopulate. We are overpopulated. We need to depopulate. Okay. Well, you know, a lot of people might feel that way. There are studies that we are getting too big for this this planet. But if that's how you feel, then why are you playing it off that now you're trying to save lives with vaccinations? Well, which is it? You want to kill people on one side, you want to kill the unborn, but you want to save all the old people? What is it? And he's got some of the craziest ideas. A lot of people think that he is so gung-ho on this vaccination because he's going to be putting the microchip in it. And, of course, religious people hear Mark of the Beast. And he is just, he's been the center of the conspiracy world right now. And I don't know if anybody knew. I didn't know this till recently. But apparently, he's behind this ID 2020 thing that he has been for years now, where he wants to identify, he wants everybody to have some kind of identity in the world that shows your immunizations, your vaccinations, your citizenship, everything. Mm. So, you know, he's involved in it. The Rockefellers are involved in it, and George Soros are involved in it. Geez, there's the trifecta of, New World Order guys. So, again, he keeps popping up. Whenever you're looking at common denominators for a one world government, a New World Order, there's Bill Gates, and he certainly has the money and the technology to pull this off.
And if he's a major contributor to the World Health Organization, then he has their ear, and probably they'll act on his behalf, which is also scary. I want to know more about something that you wrote about recently. Let me see if I have this name right. It's Dr. Mikovits.
Yes.
Tell me about Dr. Is it Mikovits or Mikovits or something else?
I'm really not sure because I started watching the video on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it was taken down.
Yeah, I actually was reading your blog today about this, and I clicked on the link to watch it, and it was not there. So it has been taken down. Tell me what this is about.
Well, Dr. Mikovits, or Mikovits, however you want to pronounce it, was a star in the virology department back in the 80s and 90s. I think she worked for the National Cancer Institute for a while. And then she got her big break, and she was hired on as a director. And she supposedly found some kind of virus with chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, her critics say that her discovery is a bunch of bull. Well, anyway, she was the director of Whitmore Peterson Institute. So her critics said that the virus that she found is all BS, and she fought it and said, "No, I found a virus. This disease is not a disease. It's really a virus." And she eventually got fired. Now, her story about why she got fired is because Big Pharma was involved, and her idea of curing the virus had nothing to do with Big Pharma, and they couldn't make any money, and blah, 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 blah. Well, they jailed her for 5 days, never charged her with anything. She was fired, and her firing kind of discredited her reputation.
Sure.
But she did reinvent herself, and she is a spokeswoman who's against a lot of vaccinations. Now, a lot of people, I got a lot of heat for this article. A lot of people were ragging on me on Facebook and on the contact button of my website and so forth. So I did get a lot of heat. She is not an anti-vaxxer. I mean, you know, get the vaccine for mumps, get the vaccine for chickenpox, get the vaccine for rubella, all of the stuff, you know, that we think is necessary. But what she was saying is that a lot of the vaccines that we're told that we have to have, that we're told that our kids have to have, we don't even need. They're just ways for Big Pharma to make money. And she believes that a lot of vaccines are contaminated. So and she ragged on flu shots. So that was, and by the way, I have never gotten a flu shot. I have been terrified of it. They never get the strain right in the flu shot to begin with. So why are you even doing it? But that's a personal decision. So she has been very vocal about vaccinations. She just thinks that they're more for profit.
Well, listen, let me just interrupt you here. Don't lose your train of thought, but I just want to mention something about vaccinations, because we've had folks on this program that have talked about vaccinations, and the prevailing thought here isn't necessarily that people are anti-vax. What they are is asking questions about what's in them, what's the motivation for them, what's the motivation for governments requiring them as opposed to making them optional, things like that. Those are legitimate questions. And these are things that are also being censored on Google, you know, Google, Facebook and YouTube and these other digital sites.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I just want to throw it out there that besides being a writer, I'm also a teacher. I'm a special education teacher, and the rise from the time that I started my career till now, from not even knowing what autistic was back in the late 90s to having half a class full of kids with autism in a period of a little bit over 20 years, is really very strange. And I know my kids were born in the late 90s, and they required maybe 7 or 8 vaccinations. I'm hearing from parents that they want, you know, around 20-25 vaccinations now. So you can't help but wonder, well, why do we need all these vaccinations? Why is vaccinations tripled or quadrupled, and why is autism skyrocketed? It used to be 1 in 1,000, and now it's 1 in 50. Why?
Yeah, there are a lot of legitimate and important questions about vaccinations. And I'm going to say this right off the bat. We know for a fact that vaccinations have been one of the greatest advances in medical technology in history. Yep. It has saved more lives than probably anything else, probably everything else all put together. However, that it's also provides some cover for pharmaceutical companies to look to make a profit. And we have to start figuring out where that line begins and ends. And that's the important question when it comes to vaccinations. Go back to the doctor story, because I interrupted you there, and I want you to finish it.
Well, anyway, a lot of people paint this woman. It was a superstar in virology. So whenever somebody wants to discredit you, they call you stupid, they call you something condescending, and I would say a lot of people, when they call you an anti-vaxxer, they're basically calling you a stupid hick who won't get your kids vaccinated. Would that be fair to say? I don't think that, but is that the negative connotation that many people have?
Yeah, well, that's how they portray anybody who questions things like that. I mean, hey.
Right.
You know, if you're truly acting in the interest of science, you will ask questions like that.
I agree.
And you will work to find answers and find legitimate answers, you know, not answers that drive an agenda.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. Just because you ask questions, you're an idiot. That used to be the opposite. When you would ask questions, it means that you're smart. But anyway, she's portrayed as this complete Looney Tune, anti-vaxxer now, by her critics. Now, by her fans, she's a hero. So you've got, again, like this country, you've got a division of two kinds of people here. So anyway, she has made a name for herself when it comes to vaccinations and viruses and so forth. So she, of course, was interviewed on what she thought about coronavirus or COVID-19 and coronavirus. And she, first of all, questioned, why do we even need a vaccine for it? It sounds like the hydroxychloroquine is working just fine, and the virus will burn itself out, and, you know, maybe that's the best way to go. And here we're hearing from, you know, certain political pundits that the hydroxychloroquine doesn't work. Well, I'm going to tell you firsthand, a friend of mine had COVID-19 And she has a myriad of health problems. She was hospitalized. She had the respirator, and they gave her the hydroxychloroquine. Well, she was out of the hospital in 3 days, and she's fine now. So I'm not saying that it's a miracle drug, but I know someone personally who was on it, and she's fine. So I don't know where we're getting all of these news hacks or political commentators, whatever, who are saying the hydroxychloroquine doesn't even work. That's not even true. And she was saying that was in her interview. And then she also said some very interesting things about the new drug, remdesivir, that they've been hyping. I don't know if you've heard.
Oh, absolutely. I've heard of remdesivir. Sure, of course.
Well, this drug, for one thing, hydroxychloroquine, I don't know if it cures you, but it gets you out of the hospital and it gets you back on your feet. Where the remdesivir might only cut off 1 or 2 days of you feeling sick. So that's quite a difference. I mean, the hydroxychloroquine does so much more than the remdesivir, but even more importantly, the remdesivir has got quite the past, okay? Whenever you want to know why a certain drug is plugged, start looking at who's producing the drug. Well, I'll tell you who's producing the drug. Gilead, which is a big pharma company. And who holds the patent to the drug? Wait, this is fascinating. China. How does China hold a patent to the drug? Because they're in a drug-sharing patent program called Unitaid. Okay, who owns Unitaid? Wait, the World Health Organization, Bill and Melinda Gates, and George Soros. And this is my favorite part of the whole entire remdesivir story. Guess where all of this is located?
I'm waiting for the answer, because it's going to be a bombshell.
Well, Wuhan.
Oh, my.
So the problem starts in Wuhan. And wow, what do you know? The solution is in Wuhan.
Wow.
Gee whiz, if I didn't know any better, huh? I'm too stupid to connect those dots, right? I can't make this stuff up. I can't make this stuff up. And I think, why am I learning this from this lady who her video got blocked? And I did a little research after I heard that segment of the interview, and sure enough, she was right on the mark. Why do I have to hear about this from a lady? Why isn't this the headline of every news channel in our country? Okay.
That's right.
Nope.
That's right. That's a great question. Why is the news media not doing its job? There was another video that was on YouTube briefly of two doctors in California that were just going through basic statistics. This was not controversial. There was nobody disputing the statistics. The only thing they did was say, based on these numbers, we should not be shutting everything down. Boom. Video taken down.
Yep. Bakersfield doctors.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. What they were saying? They were saying that when people die, there's a huge financial incentive for doctors to check the coronavirus box, which, of course, skews the death rate, because if they died of coronavirus, hospital gets an additional $13,000 from Medicare. If their patient, of course, was on Medicare. And if their patient died of coronavirus and was on a respirator, $39,000 from Medicare.
Wow. Always comes down to the money. It always comes down to the money. Follow the money. Where was that from? Jerry Maguire, the movie? Is that where the Follow the Money or Show Me?
Oh, that was Show Me the Money.
Show Me the Money. That's right. what is, let's kind of restart this conversation and help me understand what the New World Order is or is supposed to be. We hear that phrase thrown about a lot, but I'm not sure everybody completely understands what it means. What is the New World Order?
Well, there's different versions of it. There's, of course, an alien version that the aliens are going to finally show their face and they're going to take over the planet. And that's not the kind I'm talking about. There's an anti-Semitic version where they think the Rothschild bankers are out to own everything. That's not the version that I'm talking about. The version that I believe in coincides with the Bible, specifically Daniel and Revelation and some other prophets. New World Order is that moment where we become a one-world government, which we are slowly going in that direction. And you hear, you know, that Green New Deal is just a code for Agenda 2020. Ocasio-Cortez did not invent that. That was a UN agenda. She just repackaged it. And that one world government, whoever turns out to be the leader, will, of course, be the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will have a sidekick called the False Prophet. So when I'm talking about New World Order, I do believe that aliens exist, but my version of New World Order is a biblical one.
Okay, so if it's a biblical one, then does it in fact include the group of people that you mentioned previously, Rockefeller, Bill Gates, Soros, some of these, what we would consider to be, puppet masters, puppeteers, that are supposed to be meeting in back rooms in places determining our fate. Is that part of this?
Absolutely. The Bilderberg group is a good good picture of who is in the inner circle. I don't know. I couldn't tell you which one will be the Antichrist. And the way I see it, they're all probably jockeying for that position. They get along as a group, yet they're in competition for the top spot as well. Certain groups have been infamous for inner circle, New World Order. There's Council of Foreign Relations, there's the Bilderbergs, there's the Club of Rome, there's the Bohemian Grove, there's Skull and Bones, a lot of our recruits. So there are these secret organizations that lead to this. And I think we can safely say that of these inner circle elites, it seems very important that they all have money and they all have gone to some kind of Ivy League college. A lot of them are graduates of Ivy League colleges. So those are some clues.
Yeah, and how does the UN and maybe even specifically the World Health Organization fit into all of this? I mean, a lot of this New World Order discussion is tied to a discussion of a one world government, an all encompassing government. Is that the UN, or if not, how does the UN fit into the picture?
Well, the UN is basically the skeletal one world government. The UN has their own military. They the Blue Helmets. They have their own military that the United States funds most of. Ironically, we're funding most of this UN stuff, and we're not really getting all that much in return.
No.
But the UN has their own military. I mean, we have a world military. Well, if it's a world organization, why would we go to war with members of the world? I mean, just about everybody, every country's in it except for, I think, maybe Iran and a couple other ones, North Korea. The whole entire world is in it. But we have our own military, which it doesn't sound too peaceful to me. I think George Bush, the first George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, he started the whole entire thing in the 90s, and he put together a UN meeting in Rio, and they called it Agenda 21, and the 21 stands for the 21st century. So that was kind of like the first draft of putting together a one-world government. And they had certain things that they wanted to fight. They wanted to fight racism and sexism, and they wanted to encourage massive immigration. They wanted to end drug abuse. They wanted to get rid of religion because, again, religion is a drag on control. And they wanted controls on the media. And how did they phrase it? They wanted an end to misinformation, which we were talking about earlier. So this has all been drafted long time ago. So we got the UN going, and the UN served as kind of a place for countries to vent about their neighbors and vent about trade and vent, you know, it to vent. Well, then George H. Bush really got it more formalized, and it started to form policies that were enacted around the world. So, again, a few years later, we've got another UN meeting. And this time they came up with sustainable development goals. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. This is for 2030 now. Have you heard of SDGs?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, this is where they're starting to get a lot of direction on where they want not their countries to go, but where they want the world to go. Again, enacting world policies is part of a one-world government. I'm not going to read you all of them, but one of their goals is no poverty. I know that sounds noble and wonderful if you live in the middle of nowhere, you know, I don't know, pick any poor country, fill in the blank. No poverty to an American, well, that would mean communism, right? That would be taking away from those who have and giving to those who haven't. And
that's right.
I don't consider myself rich, but compared to someone in India or someone in Thailand or someone in Africa or something, you know, fill in the blank, I guess I am rich.
Right.
And that would change. Again, zero hunger. So, again, sounds like a good idea, right? But that's here we've got Bill Gates with this abortions for everybody. Let's get, if you're pregnant and you're poor, get that abortion. We got to depopulate. We got to have zero hunger. We got too many people to feed. Good health care. Health care is considered in these UN agendas a right. So you've got, you know, your Bernie Sanders saying it's a right. Well, maybe Bernie Sanders is so old that maybe he thought about this before these UN meetings, but he might have taken them from the UN meetings too. Because, again, these are not new political ideas. These are UN ideas. And to me, it sounds like the UN is getting certain politicians to echo their policies, and we don't even get it. And what else I got? Quality education. Well, again, we've got Obama had that common core.
That's right.
Standards.
Was that Obama, or did that start under George Bush? I think common core. Yeah, didn't Common Core start under George Bush? I don't remember specifically, but
he had something to do with it. Expand special education, but it didn't happen until like maybe 2010 under Obama.
That's when it was put into full effect, I guess. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Because Bush was No Child Left Behind, right?
Right. Yeah. It was that special education.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Here we got gender equality. Now that's not about women's rights. That's about, I feel like I'm a dog today. So I feel like I'm a man on Wednesdays and a woman on Thursdays, like that whole group.
It's what you identify as, not what you were born as.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not, it's not about having a sex operation and becoming the opposite. It's whatever, anything goes. You know, some of the other ones, clean and affordable energy, clean water, well, all that sounds pretty good, reducing inequality, and they want sustainable cities and communications. What does that exactly mean? They like the New World Order likes it when populations live in the city. They're easier to track.
That's
they're
right.
easier to control.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that whole goal. They want to have, of course, environmentalism is a big part of it. Well, again, the Green New Deal. Now, as you were saying, is this a new thing that we, if you're not practicing the Green New Deal, are you a terrorist? Right, exactly.
That's right.
Well, we've got the policy already written out for the UN. It has helped out, has spurred this whole entire thing. And again, climate change is, we're going to change that. Now, forgive me. I'm not going to, you know, say, oh, well, that climate change isn't real. I'm not one of those people. But I do know this, that if the entire world isn't on board with controlling their carbon footprint, you know, having recyclables, all of that, then it doesn't really matter. So why would we pay all of this money in taxes for all of these kinds of things when China can do whatever the heck they want and it's not going to make any difference? That's my thing. So, plus I think it could be a money grab in the future. And then, again, partnerships and goals with other countries, meaning partnerships with other countries would mean, no borders. Your partner, you're not another country, you're a partner. And now we're talking about more and more and more immigration. So say what you want, but this is the UN. There is another agenda in place called Vision 2050. And interesting enough, it dovetails with the other agendas, but the heads of major corporations are designing the policies for that one. And yes, Bill Gates is involved. Yes, Zuckerberg is involved. So again, the next agenda will be drafted by big tech.
How much does the environment that we found ourselves in now, and these are things that you and I talked about in the very beginning of the program, the control and censorship by big tech, which right now is basically our only vehicle to communicate with one another effectively, by a mainstream media that is purely agenda-driven, by political operatives that are more interested in making sure China is taken care of than the Americans that pay their bills. How much is all of that playing into the hands of this New World Order concept?
Well, it sure fitting nicely. America, because of our forefathers, our country is so unique. It gives us lots of protections, lots of rights that most other countries don't have. So if we bankrupt ourselves and China takes us over, for example, then, I mean, we wouldn't be America anymore.
All right, hold on. No, let's talk about that for a second. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, Dina. When you say China takes us over, are you talking in terms of like a military takeover? Or are you talking about an economic takeover?
I don't think they have to use the military. I think economically they could do it.
Right. And that's what happens when we start spending trillions and trillions of dollars that we have to borrow from them to spend.
Yep.
And, you know, and as most people would agree, China right now is the only place on earth that has the balance sheet, the assets to be able to fund this kind of debt. And they're not doing the things that we're doing. They don't have the social programs in place that we have. They don't have the environmental protections in place that we have. So they don't have any of those costs, those overheads, those expenses. So therefore, they have this money. And what you're saying then is through an economic coup, an economic domination, they could control what happens here.
Absolutely. Right now, I'm hearing through the grapevine that, well, we're starting to see some foreclosures. I mean, a lot of people were not doing all that well before Corona.
That's
and
right.
Now that we're in Corona, they're losing their house. Maybe they were about to lose it anyway, but we're getting foreclosures already. Well, a lot of people are saying that China's going around snapping up all of these foreclosures. So how nice for them. How much of this country do they already own? It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
They say that we owe 25-30% of all of our debt is funded through China. What if they called in their martyrs? That'd be it.
Yeah. There are so many things that make this scary. I hope that the silver lining and everything that we're dealing with right now is that people and government officials will wake up to the precarious situation we've been placed in by years of looking the other way. It's really nice to have a country make things that are cheap to buy at stores like Walmart. That sounds really mm-hmm. great when you're out there spending your dollars. However, the consequences of that we're seeing now. They are huge, they are deep, they are significant, and if they're not reversed soon, just like you said, we won't be able to afford those cheap goods in Walmart anymore because everyone will be suffering economically.
Well, just to add on, it's not just China's fault. The way that we as a society value money is ridiculous. In my grandma's day, they saved everything.
That's right.
I remember going to breakfast with her when she was alive, and she'd be taking all the jellies off the table. She's like, I'm not buying jelly. She'd be taking all of them. Yeah.
There's a fine line between being frugal and minor theft. But my grandparents did the same thing. Living through the Depression taught them that everything was valuable, and you use everything to its max, and you don't throw anything away, and you save every penny you can. My grandfather used to follow me around and tell me, make sure you turn the light off. Turn this light off. You're not in this room. Turn that light off. You're in this room, but you don't need both lights on because you're sitting in the chair over on the right. So you only need that light on. I mean, that's what he would do. And he drilled that into me, which is one of the reasons I'm as cheap as I am.
Well, thank God, because you're not living under a bridge right now. And I hate to say this, but my grandma was absolutely right about all of this. And, you know, I don't mean to get down on people who go to college and student loan the whole thing, but really, you're not going to go to community. You don't have any money, and you're too good for community college. So you're going to go away to school and add on another $50,000 to your debt to major in music. Really, is this where we are right now? Come on, man. I just can't. The way we are with money is infuriating, and the 2008 crisis didn't show us a damn thing.
Yeah.
People were buying $500,000 houses with $5 down, and they worked at McDonald's, and the bank would give them the loan. I mean, come on. We're better than this. We cannot. We have been overspending. We've been spending like sailors as people, and our government has been doing the same exact thing. We put ourselves in this position.
That's right.
And now we're going to have to pay the piper. And, not to beat this like a dead horse, but some of this whole losing your house, losing your wealth, parents used to pass on things to their kids.
Yep.
And now these older people, I mean, luckily my mom's not one of these yet, but some older people, they're getting reverse mortgages and they're giving their houses away.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really sad.
It is. What do you say about corporations? And listen, I am a defender of businesses and even large corporations. You know, there has to be a system of some checks and balances on what they do, and I think there is one. However, I do think they provide products and services that we all want and we all consume, and in some cases, we all need. But what do you say about some of these corporations that when they look at the world and they see so much profit opportunity in places like China, that they will do anything they can to be able to conduct business there, including adopting Chinese propaganda or Chinese directives? You know, we've all heard the stories of Hollywood editing movies.
Yep.
To change the film so it's acceptable to the communists in China before they can release it there. You know, these are things that we would have thought completely ridiculous 30 years ago, and now it's being done routinely. How do we fight that? How do we fight the profit motivation?
You just made me think about the most recent one, the Freddie Mercury Queen movie.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had to. How do you get rid of how he was gay in the movie? I don't know. I saw that movie. It was, you know, he died of AIDS. I'm not sure. But I mean, you're absolutely right. The NBA, they, you know, defending China. Oh, because of course, money. Well, you could easily argue whether you like Trump or you don't like Trump. That was one of his main points that he made throughout his election, that we are giving away this country. There has got to be some laws that an American company cannot headquarter itself in China and pay hardly any taxes and pay nothing for the labor and live the good life here in America. It's just wrong. And I mean, I completely agree with you. And we're talking, and not that we're talking a lot about immigration, but a lot of people seem to think that this is a Democratic thing. I think it's a Republican and Democratic thing. If the Republican businesses weren't hiring the illegals, they wouldn't be coming here. They're hiring them for cheap labor. And we're just – the whole money thing, people trying to save money so they can have bigger profit, it's come back to bite us. This government has not protected itself at all.
You know, we're walking a fine line here on this program tonight because we try to avoid talking about politics. It's not our wheelhouse. And, you know, we have listeners who agree and disagree with either side. It doesn't matter. Everybody, you know, has the right to their
right.
opinion. And we try to avoid
Absolutely.
Making it controversial. But these are very, very important positions. And as you said, these are both Republican and Democrats to be blamed. And it's also both Republican and Democrats that need to solve the problem. But, you
yep.
know, one of the things that we need to hope for is that as we come out of this and we start looking at ways, and the government will be doing this for years, of how to reinvigorate our economy here in the United States, one of those projects should be a repatriation of manufacturing into on American soil from Chinese soil primarily, but really from many places around the world. Make those jobs come back here. Yeah, it's going to be expensive, but we just spent $2 trillion to try to save the economy. $2 trillion would have gotten this job done. So this has to be a priority. This has to be at the top of the list.
I don't know. I don't know how we're ever going to come out from under this. I know we're printing that money, but at some point, inflation, I mean, I don't know. I'm not an economist. But they've been saying for years that once you get close to $30 trillion in debt, it's not just a bad economic policy, it's a security policy, it's a security problem.
Yeah.
And $30 trillion has been the number that they've used. Well, we're getting pretty close,
we're close,
supposedly
yeah.
Congress is drafting another $3 trillion bill.
That thing is an abomination. I hope, and I don't mind saying that, that is an abomination, that $3 trillion bill that was just announced. It's disgusting what they're trying to do. I want to change the topic a little bit here. Let's go back to this coronavirus. You mentioned Wuhan. Is it your opinion that this thing was engineered in a lab?
Absolutely. We had two Asian doctors two whistleblower, as they're saying, two whistleblowers. One ended up dying of the coronavirus the minute he let the cat out of the bag, and then he died of coronavirus the next day. That's right. Kind of odd. And then the girl doctor, she mysteriously disappeared. Mm-hmm. We don't even know that she's dead, but she blew the whistle and she's now disappeared. And then what the news again, why this isn't, I only hear this, you know, on shows like yours, on different news sites that I like to go on the internet. Why isn't this on every major news? I don't know. But two research doctors who are American, but they were Asian Americans, were murdered in the Pennsylvania area, in the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah, I haven't heard this story.
Oh, that happened maybe a week ago?
Yeah, I haven't heard this. Yeah, these points you're bringing up are so important, and yet our mainstream media is arguing over whether or not the president was racist when he told a reporter that she should ask her question to the Chinese. You can't make this stuff up. This is how insane we have become. We're not looking out for Americans. We're not looking out for our people, our children and our grandchildren. We're playing games, and I don't know if there's any answer to it. I'm very discouraged.
Yeah, I mean, on the other side of the coin, people are saying that coronavirus is, 100 times worse than we know. So maybe it is. I just know the one person who had it and survived it.
Yeah, let me just say this. The virus is real. It is real, and it is really killing people. That's not in dispute here.
Yep.
But there are other things that need to be considered as well. We need to consider our reaction and make sure it's not an overreaction. Now, I look at Fauci, and I respect him, just like I respect every person who's attained that level of education and professional stature. But here you have a guy who has spent 40 years in a position planning for a worst case scenario. He probably never thought he would ever see one in his lifetime. And boom, one hits. Of course he's going to want to pull out the stops. Mm-hmm. Of course he's going to want to exercise every plan that they had been working on for the last 40 years. Plan A, B, C, D, E, and F. Of course he wants to do that. And he should be an advocate for that. That's his job. But he's not the only one that should be an advocate for a side. There are other parts to this discussion that need to be considered. So, I don't know. It's just my opinion.
Well, just to piggyback on that real quick, he is connected with Bill Gates big time. They have worked together many times through WHO projects and whatnot. So, he is a friend of Bill Gates.
That doesn't surprise
me.
Based on what we've been talking about tonight, that does not surprise me. So if this thing was engineered in a lab, I tend to be of the opinion that it wasn't engineered there. It was being studied there and it just got out or whatever. But regardless, either way, it's almost the same crime. Should there be some type of prosecution of the Chinese, of the Chinese government for this?
Well, aren't they talking about making a law where you could sue China, which is kind of entertaining because if I was, in charge of China, which I'm obviously not, I would be laughing hysterically if I got a lawsuit delivered to me.
Well, that's it. I mean, how do you enforce
that? I'd be like, really? Yeah. You owe me $20 trillion and you want to sue me for what? A million? Right.
Yeah.
Get lost.
Yeah. Well, that's.
Yeah, how about you sue? You pay me back all the money I gave you first, and then we'll talk about the lawsuit.
Yeah, that's the problem. Regardless of whether they pass that law or they make it possible, I don't think it has any teeth. But then again, I don't know. Maybe you do it through the world court. I don't know how that works. I just don't know. A lot of people are making comparisons on both sides, whether it's the critics of Donald Trump or it's the critics of some of these policies that are awfully restrictive and blatantly unconstitutional. Both sides are using the word Nazi a lot. Is there any comparison here to Nazi Germany or Nazism?
Well, not yet, but I do want to comment that China and South Korea, which South Korea is being heralded by some of the news channels as, you know, the end-all, be-all, perfect response to COVID-19, which if you believe everything that China and South Korea has to say, maybe, but what they're doing to their citizens is making me sick to my stomach. Talk about Nazism. I mean, if there were cell phones in Hitler's day, he would have definitely done the same. In China, you have to go to a doctor and get tested to see if you're in the clear of COVID-19. And if you are, everybody, by the way, has to have their cell phone with them at all times. So if you're too poor to afford a cell phone, I'm assuming the government must give you one. I don't know how that works. But once the doctor confirms that you do not have COVID, you get, he goes into the computer and he goes into your app and he gives you this green code. And it looks like one of those QRI code things, but it's green.
Uh-huh.
So there's checkpoints all over the place. You want to go get in to the bus station. Well, then you show your green thing. Then you want to get to a certain bus. Then you show your green thing. You want to get on the bus. You show your green thing and so forth. So you want to go to a store. You show your green thing on your phone. So there's all of these checkpoints for you to get anywhere throughout China. Now, if you're yellow, that means you don't have COVID, but you have come in contact. A contract tracer, as we were talking about earlier, has said that you have come in contact with somebody with COVID-19. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that you paid for something with the cashier who has COVID-19, or does that mean that your wife has COVID-19? It could mean anything in between that those two kinds of relationships. You're yellow, so you're not going anywhere. You're treated, and then, of course, red means you have been diagnosed with COVID-19, and your color is going to stay red until you go to the doctor and you get tested and you don't have it. So that is how China is doing it. South Korea is doing it very similarly, except they have a app that if you're standing by someone who has COVID-19, it outs that person and says, Tom Jones or whoever has COVID and he's 6 feet away from you, or so.
Oh,
it outs the person.
Wow.
Through a text.
Wow, that's crazy.
Through a text message.
Oh my
so
god!
So you could be waiting for your bus, and then Tom Jones is less than 6 feet away from you, and he has COVID. I don't know if they go as far as saying he's wearing a white jacket, and I don't know about that, but they out the person's name and everything.
Wow.
I mean, it's crazy.
And these are the things they're looking to adopt here? Is that what some people are saying?
Yeah. And then Fauci was talking about those certificates. You have to have a certificate. Well, that's the same thing as that whole having a green QRI code on your phone.
Yeah, same idea, just a different makeup on it. This is disturbing stuff as well, and they do it all in the name of health. But again, you open this door, and what's to stop them from using it for, well, now we go to the flu, or we go to the, you know, all the diseases, and then we go to, carbon emission users. People are using too much carbon.
Mm-hmm.
This opens a Pandora's box that we do not want opened.
Right, or how about gun owners? They have a gun,
and
are they registered? Or we're going to be ratting each other out pretty soon.
Yeah, if this happens, I suspect that we're going to see some very significant pushback by a lot of patriots in this country. I think there are people, and I've been watching my chat rooms, and there are people in the chat rooms that are sympathetic to the patriot side of this, and I think a lot of people are going to get to the point where they will just not put up with it anymore. This is going to turn into, if not bloody, certainly violent, and I hope it doesn't come to that. Dina, we're running out of time here. Tell me about your books.
Okay, well, my newest book is called Crowns and Cabals. It is about New World Order. It's about my New World Order didn't happen from a virus. It happened from a nuclear war. But the story goes on about how this country would look like if it really did happen. And, of course, there are supernatural elements, biblical prophecy, artifacts. It's like a mystery and a dystopian novel rolled up into one. My other, my two books before that are called the bestseller and the sequel, and they are about aliens and their role in World War II, and a lot of it is true. A lot of it, of course, is fiction. It's, I guess you would call that faction. Again, a lot of people who have read them compare it to an ancient alien type of story, and it has a lot of cool facts in there, as well as an entertaining story about a girl who was engineered with an alien gene. And then before that, I had another book called Big Agra, Big Pharma, Big Conspiracy, and I'm writing a second one to that. It's not really a sequel. You don't have to have read the first one. But that is my only nonfiction, and it's about the role that Big Pharma and Big Agra have in controlling our Congress and our Senate. And then I have another, before that, I have a two-book series, Halo of the Damned, Halo of the Nephilim, and that is about, they're fiction, but they're about a religion that worships angels, and the story goes from there. And there really is a religion, by the way, that worships fallen angels from biblical scripture. And then my first book, The Last Degree, which is about Freemasonry. So I have written 8 books total. I'm working on a 9th, and you can find all of them on Amazon, Dina Rae, DinaRae. I'm all over the place, maybe a little bit here on Walmart, maybe a little bit here on Books A Million, maybe a little bit here. I'm scattered, but they're all on Amazon. That's probably the easiest place to find it. I have 2 blogs. One is called Crackpot Conspiracy. Another one is called Dina Rae's Right Stuff, spelled with a W, .blogspot. And I'm on Twitter, at Halo of the Damned. I'm on Facebook, Dina Rae Books. I'm on Pinterest. I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Goodreads. I'm all over the place. I'm complaining about social media, but
The bottom line is that the digital age has put all other media out of business. I'm a radio guy. Radio stations can't their business model can't exist anymore. Newspapers they can't exist anymore. So we've been forced to flock into this social media world, and now this social media world is telling us what we can and cannot say, what we can and cannot know. This is a problem too, and I think in addition to my rant about in the aftermath, we need to bring manufacturing back from China. It's that whole thing. Add part B to that is that we have to look at antitrust into some of these giant tech companies. Amazon cannot control all retail in the world. We can't let it happen. Google should not be able to control almost 90% of all search on the internet. They shouldn't be allowed to have that much power because they don't allow it to happen without bias. They have their own biases. Anyway, that's a whole nother discussion. Dina, I want you to promise me that within a couple months here, you'll come back as the dust settles on this, we can take a look back and kind of assess where we are at that point and how we got there.
Well, JV, you are always a wonderful host, a wonderful show, and I'm thrilled to always come on your show anytime. You're a great guy.
Well, thank you very much. It was a great conversation. I wish you the best. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Beyond Reality Paranormal is hosted by JV Johnson and produced by Orion Palmer and Slick Eddie Edwards. Like us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please consider supporting the program either through your podcast platform, click on the link in the description, or on Patreon at Joha Productions. If you'd like to be a guest on Beyond Reality Paranormal or you have a recommendation for a guest, contact our producer, Slick Eddie Edwards. Eddie is spelled with a Y at slickeddieedwards@gmail.com.